Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. I know many of you are tired at this point in the day, and so sit down and relax, and as we in West Virginia say, have a nice day. My topic is teaching cultural diversity in a non-diverse population. I do teach at Fairmont State University, but I am originally from New York State, so I was able to see this population in a different way. I have no relationships to disclose. West Virginia has a population of 1,855,000. 93%, almost 94% of our population is white. 3.4% is black or African American, and 1.2% is Hispanic or Latino. Approximately 44% of our residents live in a rural area. This is just a point of reference for you to see West Virginia and the states that surround us. We are an Appalachian state. West Virginia is known, as most of you know it, as a mountainous and diverse topography. It's historically significant for its logging and mining industries, which many of you know, recent years we had mining disasters and lost many lives to that. Our logging has gone down substantially in the last several years. Again, it's largely a rural state. 80% of our state is forested, with more than 110,000 square miles of hardwood forest. We have windswept mountains and photo-perfect landscapes. The population, again, 44% in rural area. And in practical terms, what that means is that half of the state's people live in hard-to-reach and isolated areas. And this is a picture of our beautiful state. Cultural values and beliefs. Individuals, all of us in here, we've learned our values and our beliefs through our culture and our families, our experiences, our family of origin. In a homogeneous population, there's few differences among the people. In a vastly rural population, values and beliefs are deeply embedded in the history, in the culture of the family, and the land that the family lives in. Appalachian culture, the literature is quite dated. It was published in the 1960s and 70s. One of the first studies on Appalachian attitudes was delivered by Thomas Ford in 1958. His design was a measure of fatalism, religiosity, individualism, and self-reliance values. These are all values many of us have, but they're deeply embedded in the life and the culture of the Appalachian people. Anthropologists believe that the Appalachian value system evolved into what it is today, partly due to the geographic isolation of the early settlers caused by the mountains. That hasn't changed. Culture continues to be connected to the rural farm orientation, the isolation. People are isolated physically, socially, and culturally. I can speak of that from experience. I live in a very, very rural area. I'm isolated physically from other people, culturally, certainly, and socially. I'm not saying that I don't like that, though. We're an underfinanced subsistence economy, and we're deeply, deeply embedded in Celtic roots. I am of Irish descent, and the people, as many of you will know, that Appalachian people are Scots-Irish, many of them come from those roots. Cultural diversity. Preparing culturally competent nurses in an ever-growing multicultural world poses a great challenge. This challenge is even greater for nursing faculty in a non-diverse state, teaching non-diverse students about an unknown entity. Additionally, while population in the U.S. is demonstrating increasingly diverse members of the nursing of diverse members in the population, the nursing profession does not. Most nurses continue to be Caucasian, female, not many males in our profession, even at this time, and the populations are increasing. We have a world soup in our country. Again, the Appalachian values are deep-seated, and they're resistant to change. My students, I teach in a program is called 2 plus 2, start in the associate, receive an associate degree, and then proceed into a bachelor's degree program. So my students are all registered nurses. come from much different background from the students that I taught and who I was a student of in Binghamton University. Most of my students are married, first-generation college, and all are working, and almost every one of them have children. And probably the ages range from 25 to 54 of the students that I teach. So it's a little bit different from other programs. So these students are all West Virginians. Not one of my students is from another state. They've all grown up in a very non-diverse culture. Every one of my students is Caucasian. They have learned their values from their family. They have a love of home and a love of land. Land and land ownership and home ownership is very, very important to West Virginians. They have a neighborliness. They have an individualism. The identification of self in relation to animals, hunting. Hunting is a very, very important part of the life of West Virginians. I am not one of those. My husband used to be, but since he's married to me, it's a little bit less. Hunting, the school actually, they go on break at the start of hunting season because if they didn't, students would not show for class. Traditionalism. Religion is very, very important, and distrust of outsiders. It's a very rural culture that's very congruent with rural. A homogeneous student population. West Virginians share the Appalachian culture, their beliefs, their practices. Students do not have the benefit of sharing and discussing differences in cultural beliefs. There's not a diverse population among the student population, so they don't have others to talk to and learn about. So as an educator, it's our responsibility to develop creative teaching methods in order to expose the students to different cultures. But it's a challenge. The challenge of creating innovative and appropriate learning opportunities for students to develop cultural awareness and consequently competence is significant, especially in a non-diverse population. The theoretical component of transcultural nursing is addressed in traditional readings and discussions. So in my students, they have the regular readings that everybody else has, but they're not do not have any way to benefit other just reading words. Opportunity to apply cultural concepts are limited, and every opportunity needs to be offered to enable students to learn about cultural diversity firsthand. Students today, as educators know, they need to be engaged in academic endeavors. The world in which they live and participate is rich in technology. In order to create interest and meaningful learning atmosphere, the educator must enter that student's culture. So I did not develop this. It's a copyrighted material. But it was new to my institution. It was new to me. I developed a 3-hour simulation based on two fictional cultures. Nursing students communicate and assimilate into two new societies. I have them divided into two separate rooms. Half of the students are in one room and half are in another. And they are given a brief overview of their new culture and their new community, along with some language skills in which to navigate within the society. And things like money in order so that they can work their way into the society. Once the students are given a time to become familiar with the new culture, after they are familiar and comfortable in that culture, then they are given the chance to go into the other culture and become part of that culture. 2 to 6 students at a time go into the different culture. While visiting that other culture, they try to fit in and become a part of that society. They try to figure out what's going on in that society, what are the nuances. And then when they return to their home culture, they discuss what they've learned and what they think makes that culture go about. At the end of this simulation, the students and I engage in reviewing the exercise. This is all part of a community health exercise on cultural experiences. Discussion revolves around what the students learned about the new culture, as well as the visitor's culture, and communication skills, values, beliefs, customs, and expectations of that culture. In turn, they had the experience on reflecting on their own culture. How is their culture different from that they have gone into? The culture exercise is an educational approach to gain interest and to encourage critical thinking, to think about where they come from and perhaps what different ways that they can interact with other people. It increases their knowledge about culture. It does not mean that the student will be able to effectively communicate and care for an individual from another culture. It's important to remember that the student does come with a set of beliefs that are deeply embedded. Their worldview may not be influenced. We live close to Morgantown, which is the hub of West Virginia University. And in that town, there are many different cultures, many students from international areas. But in this school, in Fairmont State University, it is not. It's much a less diverse than WVU. And why is this important? Cultural sensitivity was identified as a major curricular element in the Essentials of Baccalaureate Education for Professional Nursing Practice by AACN in 2008. Nurse educators are responsible for raising awareness of cultural diversity among both students and fellow faculty. The faculty that I work with, they are representative of the student population. All the faculty are from West Virginia. They are all Caucasian. Most have not traveled much, so we need to. I felt it was my responsibility to try and broaden some of the beliefs about culture in my within the faculty and the students. In a state such as West Virginia, where the population is mostly homogeneous, it's even more important to instill cultural diversity. Nurses entering the profession must do so as culturally competent practitioners. And we all know that song, Country Roads, so I thought I'd put a nice autumn picture of West Virginia, but now we have lots of snow on those trees. So thank you very much for your attention.